Thank you, brother. Good morning. Good to have you. Thank you for being here. I see some of us are still left over from spring break. I hope you had an enjoyable time, but glad to have some of you back. Some other folks are out this week, and so they might have went and took your place. Okay. Today we're continuing our series in Restoring My Joy. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. That's where we're going again. Looks like I'm missing something here. I like some lighting. I'm turning my light up here. There you go. Yeah, that helps me out a lot. Good morning. I see the ones of us didn't have enough money to go somewhere still here. Is that right? But this last weekend, we can begin to see that it's a little springy outside, and a bunch of you probably worked in the yard and things like that. And so I was in a conference this weekend from 5:30 Friday morning to about 8:30 that night. Then I had it from 8 o'clock that morning at 3:30, so I got to see the sunshine, but I didn't experience much of it anyway. But maybe next week, but I see next weekend it's going to rain again. So, man, I missed it, so I don't know. But anyway, if we're looking at this morning again, we're going to get some hard stuff here. Jesus, I'm determined we're going to preach through the Sermon on the Mount. I've never done that. I've preached on the Sermon on the Mount different times, but I never preached completely through it. And so why I do that is that's Jesus' favorite sermon. That's what we know about him. And so this is things that he saw that was important. And so we started out with the Beatitudes, and then we skipped, and we got into Christmas and went away from it. Then we got into our Happy series and went away from it. So now we're coming back. And last week was the first, and this week is the next part of it also. If you're trying to keep up with it, this is actually the ninth sermon that we've preached in this series. It's just kind of had a big gap there, okay? So today what we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about Academy Award Christians. Academy Award Christians. Every year they have a big thing. They say, I don't watch much of it, especially anymore, but they say they have Academy Awards. And each year, what it is they reward the best actors for pretending to be someone that they're not. And we call it the Academy Awards, okay? Well, what I'm saying today is Hollywood doesn't have anything on the church. Because we have a lot of folks today that are playing a game. They're playing it, and they're acting. And the Bible has a word for that. It's called hypocrisy. And you hear the word hypocrite. And if we read through these scriptures today, you're going to see that Jesus has some strong word for the hypocrite. Now, a hypocrite is someone that says they're a Christian, but they're really not. Or they are a Christian, and they don't act like it, okay? So we can define it that way. So there's another category for you. You're either a hypocrite or you're not, okay? So we're in that kind of situation. So we need to realize today is that it's a claiming to have moral standards and belief, but my heart doesn't match my words or my works. And so it's what we're calling a lot of talk and no do, okay? Or a lot of times it's a lot of do and no heart, okay? Because a lot of people do a lot of things, and we're going to see that today too. But it didn't amount to anything, okay? So let's look here in Matthew chapter 6 and starting in verses 1 and 2. He says, be careful. Now, what is he saying? When he says be careful, what he's doing, he's giving you a warning here. And again, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers here, okay? He's talking to people out there that are probably lost too, but he's talking to these people. He says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites, there's our word, do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they will receive their reward in full. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to another message that Jesus preached to people that some were committed and some were not. And he gives them a warning here, and the warning is to our church today also. God, there's going to be a crowd, but going to be very few people that truly are believers or people that are truly sold out for you. And so, God, let us hear your truth today. Let this get into our hearts and to our minds and show us truth and help us to examine ourselves to see if we're who you want us to be. It's so easy to look at a person not doing anything and try to justify our lack of doing anything. Or someone that's not a Christian and we justify because we say that we are, but we don't apply our Christian life to our lives, God. And so, God, let us examine ourselves by your truth, and that's what we'll stand before one day. And we'll stand before you, and we'll be evaluated by the truth that we knew and the truth that we acted out on. So, God, this is not a place for information. This is a place for transformation. And, God, if we're not being transformed by your word, there's something wrong. There's something blocking that. And so, God, let us look at ourselves today. Let us examine ourselves today and see, first of all, are we really true believers? And then next, are we truly surrendered and carrying out the calling you have for our lives? God, let this be a message of truth, and God, let it be one that honors you, but God also convicts us and helps us to get closer to you. And we love you and we praise you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. Amen. So what's what it's saying here? Let's look at it again. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, that they have received their reward in full. So that's a lot of saying here. For what he said, he's talking about being phony, and so we have to understand that. So we're calling this message Academy Award Christians, and it's all about being an actor, being a phony, and a lot of people put on a good show, and we have to understand that. So it's claiming to have moral standards of belief, but our hearts and our words are not matching those things. And this is what Jesus says. Let's go a little bit deeper. In verse 5, Matthew 6 and verse 5, look a little bit ways down. It says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrite, there's our word again, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. And then move on down to verse 16. It says, when you fast, do not look somber like the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. And I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. And so what he's saying here is this. He's saying there's a lot of things you can put on in life, a lot of ways you can act in life and not be sincere about it. And so what we're talking about today, we're talking about checking our motives and why we do what we do. And sometimes that's hard to do. But that's what Jesus is saying. And how we check our motives is we check our way. You know, what does our heart say? What are we doing? Why are we doing this? And why are we acting in the way that we do? And so what he does here, he says, look at your false motives in giving. Look at your false motives in praying. Look at your false motives in fasting. And he says, ask yourself, am I being a phony? Am I just doing it to be seen by other people? Do I want other people to see me? Do I want other people to know that what I'm doing, that I can be honored by men? And then what he's doing, he says, when you do that, and if you are, then you need to realize that your reward is being rewarded in this world and not the world to come. And so he goes in, that he lays this out for us. And so we have a world of what we call make-believe, and we call it entertainment, okay? And we like to be entertained. And there's a lot of entertainers in church. They come and put on a big show, but they go home and live a different life. And so they entertain. And then the church does what? We call it things like this. We call it like plastic preachers and cardboard Christians, and they're playing a game, and wooden worshipers where you raise your hand and close your eyes, but it's, all it is a head worship. It's not a heart worship. You're just kind of going through the motions, and you want to try to convince people that you're spiritual. And why? I don't really understand that. But Jesus has some strong words against this. He has some strong words. What you realize is this, is Jesus was a lot more sympathetic with the fellow that was out here just lost his last year's Easter egg than the old boy that shows up for church that is saved and doesn't act like it, or he shows up for church and he's not even a believer. And he says that you're a hypocrite. And this is how far it goes. He goes over in Revelations, and you remember he's talking to the churches here. This is Laodicea, and he's talking here in Revelations 3 and verses 15 through 16. And you've probably heard this before. This is what he says here. This is Jesus. Here you go. Here. This is John talking about what Jesus is saying here. He says, I know your deeds. You are neither hot or cold nor hot. And I wish you were either one or the other. He's saying you need to get on one side of the fence or the other, because there's no fence riding when it comes to Christianity. And then he goes on in verse 16. He says, so because of your lukewarmness, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And that word spit there means vomit. He's saying, I'll throw you up. You make me throw up. You make me sick, you know. And so we need to realize, you know, why is Jesus saying that? Why is he so strong? I mean, man, he's loving and caring and compassionate. But let me tell you what, don't never forget that he's holy. Amen? And that's what the church is forgetting sometimes. God is holy, and we're to honor him. We're to respect him. This is why it is. This is why it is. The greatest argument for Christianity, this is my understanding, the greatest argument for Christianity and the greatest argument against Christianity is one thing, and that's the church. There's people in here today that they can give their testimony, and they can say, look at how my life has changed. Look at what God's done in my life and where he's brought me from. And I would not be the person I am today if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my testimony. I give it a lot because that's my testimony. Look what God's done for me. But there's other people in here and say, well, yeah, I'm been in church, I come to this, but, you know, God hasn't done anything. I mean, I act the same way I did before I say I got saved, or I prayed that prayer, or I got baptized, or I joined the church. And there's nothing about me. So what it is, it's a phoniness. It's a lack of phoniness. And so the greatest argument for Christianity and the greatest argument against Christianity is the church and the life of a believer. See, people are looking at you. And we like to make this statement because it's true. You're the only Bible some people ever read. You're the only person, you know, you're the Jesus in some people's lives. They're looking at you and saying, is this Christianity really true? Does it really make a difference? I heard a testimony of a girl yesterday. She stood up and she was giving her testimony at this conference that I was at. And she was saying, I had a person at work And she says, every now and then, she said, he would come to me and she says, he'd say, are you truly saved? You know, and she'd say, well, you know, because she went to church and she did the church thing and all that kind of stuff, you know. And then one day he asked her, he said, well, if you died today, that you know you'd go to heaven. And she says, who is this nut? I mean, this guy at work coming, who is this nut keeps coming? And so she was offended and they would laugh about him at church and laugh and things about what was going on. Well, anyway, one day she come and she was going through a situation. She had a death in the family. And so she was in one of those kind of vulnerable states and one of those come to Jesus moments where you think about life and the importance of life. And the guy just walks up and he says, well, I just want you to know that I understand that this person has passed away in your family. And I want you to know that I've been praying for you. And I want you to ask you the question again. Do you know tonight, if you died, would you go to heaven? And she said, you know, that time I didn't laugh at him. I didn't mock him. I didn't throw away. She said, I went back and sat down at my desk that day. And she says, God, am I really right with you? And she said, through that conviction, she said, not him, but I went and talked to another friend, because she said, I would have never talked to him. She said, but I went and talked to another friend, and she led me to the Lord a week later. Amen? And so that's what happened. So a guy at his work, he was doing something that wasn't popular. He was the one they laughed at. He was the one they talked about, but did what? But she stood there 20-something years ago. She stood there 20-something years later and saying he was probably the reason that I got saved. Because why? Because he wouldn't give up on me. He didn't give up on me. And she said, when I got saved, I went back to the church. It went back to work. And she said, I walked up and gave him a hug and said, I want you to know that I accepted Christ this week. And he said, well, praise God, you know, and he praised God with her and everything, you know. And so it's a big thing. And so we need to realize people are watching you. They, you know, when you drive up at your church, at the place that you work or where you go to school or whatever, they're watching what you say and how you live your life because they're seeing if you're authentic or you're just playing a game. And so Jesus was called a friend of sinners. But his hardest words were for the hypocrites in the temple. Listen to what he says here in Matthew 23, verses 25 through 28 again. He says, woe to you. Okay, here's a warning again. Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees. He's talking about the church crowd, okay, and he's talking about the upper shalot guys here. He says, you hypocrites, there's our word again. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside are full of greed and selfish indulgence. So he's saying, you clean up pretty good. You know, you're cleaning up pretty good on the outside. He says, blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will be clean. So what he's saying is, in true Christianity, the inside gets cleaned up, and then it comes to the outside. And falseness is what? We clean up the outside, but nothing ever happens to the inside. Nothing ever happens to the heart. And then he goes on, he says, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. And then he says in verse 20, in the same way, here he goes, in the same way, like these tombstones. He says, in the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Now, he's talking to some church folks there, okay? I mean, he's playing close to the corn here. He's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's talking to the folks that are the big shots, and he's saying what? He's saying, look at your heart, because what? You appear to do a lot of things, but I'm looking past that, and I'm seeing who you really are on the inside. And so, in another place, Jesus says what? They're wolves in sheep's clothing. So when it comes to Christianity, folks, there's a lot of phoniness. There's a lot of Academy Awards going on, because why? Because they're doing a lot of talk, but no action. There's a lot of head, but there's no heart. And that's a phoniness in Christianity, and there's a lot of it out there. And he says they're like wolves in sheep's clothing. So we have a lot of people in the church that have a lot on the... I love this. I read this years ago. We have a lot of people in the church that have a lot in the front window, but nothing in the warehouse. Amen? It's like a storefront. They put a big store, and then you walk in, there's hardly nothing there, you know. And that's how a lot of Christians are. So let's get into our points. Let's go through our grocery list here today. How can I tell if I'm a hypocrite? How can I tell? You say, well, Brother Nathan, I'm looking for my motives, you know. I mean, I want to be right. How do I know here? Well, here's some things to look at. That's what he's talking about here. Again, back up in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1 there. He says, first of all, look at your actions. Look at your actions. The motives of my service. Again, he's looking at the motive of my service matters to me. Why do you do what you do? In the church, outside the church, why do you do what you do? It's an act of being seen by men. Pride comes from a fall. Pride comes from a fall. And we need to understand this, is a lot of people are trying to act like big shots in the church. And what you need to realize is this, is what I call the big fish in a little pond. Now, you might make a big splash, but it's still a little pond, okay? And so God's not looking for big fish. He's looking for people that will serve him out of a heart for love for him and have a heart for compassion. So first of all, we have to look at our actions and see what we're doing for. And realize that our actions matter. Our motives and our actions matter what we're doing. And then he goes on, the second thing is look at my giving. This is where it really gets rough. Look at his giving. He says in verses 2 and 3, it says, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the street corners to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. What's he saying here? When you give, and we should all give, 10% is a start. Everybody says, well, I give 10%. That's the minimum. That's not the maximum. Don't brag on if you're just giving a tithe. If you're not giving a tithe, you're sinning, okay? I mean, that's the minimum. You ought to tithe, everybody ought to tithe, but then we ought to be givers also. But he's saying, look at your giving, and not only what you give, but the motive that you do. What's he saying here? The motive for these people, what? They wanted to be seen by men. They wanted to walk up and drop their money and make sure it made a big sound for everybody knew they give a lot, okay? And so that's what a lot of people are. And look at the motive of my giving. Look at the amount of my giving. And man's honor is motive. To honor man in your giving is hypocrisy, and we need to understand it. And so this is what it is. Honor is the motive honor of man is the motive of a hypocrite, not love and compassion. So why do we give to the church? Why do we give? Because we know it does good things for people. We reach out and make differences. When you look at you have the budget in your bulletin today. We're going to have a business meeting Wednesday night, and you have the budget there. Look at the things that we give to. We give to things that help people. We give to life choices. We give to the mission. We give to those different people. So part of the money that you put in the offering plate today, it goes to other people that are helping other people, other outside ministries. We give to Transitions. We give to Damascus. Those are people in need. What the problem with the church is, everybody knows what they're against, but they don't have to do what they're for, see? And so don't come up here and say, well, I'm against abortion and never give the life choices, never help anybody. Don't say, I'm against alcohol and drugs and never give the programs that are trying to help anybody, okay? And that's what it is. It's a bunch of talk and no do, okay? You know, why do we have people that serve in these ministries and go put their time into those situations? Because those things are important. Why? Because people's lives are at stake. People's lives are being changed, see? And we need to understand it, and we need to be a part of those things. And so we're marching out to do what? We're marching out to be the people of God, the army of God. And so, but it says what? Without that love and compassion, it's all a show, and it's to be honored by men. And he's saying, you're not going to be rewarded for those things. And I've said this before. God is not, he's not impressed with you being at church today, okay? And again, let me say it. I don't know why we call this a service, okay? I mean, we call this a service, but we're to go out and do our service for God and make a difference in people's lives. And so we're leaving here to go be the church, not just come here to get information. I like the illustration I read about 2 years ago, and I've probably used it a couple of times, but I liked it. It's like me going in and telling one of my boys to go clean his room. And he walks into his room, and he sits there for an hour, and he comes back out. And I said, did you clean your room? And he said, no. And I said, well, why not? He said, but I went and sat in it, you know. But see, the object was to go clean his room. It wasn't go sit there, so it's disobedient. So a lot of you are being disobedient. You're coming to church, and you're sitting, and you're worshiping, but you never go out and apply it to your life and see anything out of it. So the world doesn't see that. See, all the world sees is us gather here together, and they think we're in here just having a big party, you know, and they're not invited. But we're going to go out and tell them how you're invited too, and come, and we're not having a party. We're worshiping God, and our party is for God, not for us, and we have to understand that. And the third thing he goes on to say is, look at my praying. Look at my praying. Instead of standing out there drinking coffee and hot chocolate, you ought to be in here praying with us on Sunday mornings, you know. Does it bother me? Sure it does. Do not criticize our praying in this church unless you are praying, okay? I'm a praying pastor. I pray for you. If your name on a prayer sheet, I do. You know, I'm telling you, if I ask you to raise your hand, how many of you pray for a prayer sheet, I might get one, okay? And we hand those out week by week because, why? There's people on there that need your prayers. They covet your prayers. There's people that are dying. There's people that are lost. There's people that are hurting out here, okay? Praying is something that's serious. And he says, look at your praying. Look at your motives. Look what he says there in Matthew 6 and verses 5 through 8 here. Look at what he says here. He says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. And so what he's saying is look at how we pray. So he's saying, look at our actions, look at how we give, look at how we pray. The prayer of pride, it's all head and no heart. It's just mimicking words. It's just going through emotions. And a lot of people think you have to, you know, you have to be speaking a foreign tongue to be able to pray. You know, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, you talk normally and all of a sudden you go into the King James English. But when you pray, that's not impressing God. Not anything wrong with it, but that's not impressing God. We need to understand it. Our prayers are to be sincere. Our prayers are to be heartfelt. Our prayers are not to be showy by men. And a lot of people, that's what they're it's all about. It's all letting other people see them and see what they're about. And a lot of ways to do that is to pray. Stand up and pray in prayer in church. I will never forget this. I had a guy that went to another church that I pastored for a long time. And he had been in the church several years, and I had called on him to pray on occasions, you know, in different occasions I called him to pray. And I got to notice him for a few months. He moved to the front. He used to sit at the back, and all of a sudden he moved to the front, you know. And so, I mean, I'm thinking, well, I mean, maybe he's maturing, okay. So people sit on the front. I'm thinking maybe you're maturing. You want to make sure you get it, okay. And so anyway, so he's sitting there, you know. So anyway, he's coming, he's sitting right about the second row there, and right there. And so anyway, one day after church, I was waking, I was shaking hands, and he says, "Brother, I'll talk to him." I said, "Yeah." He says, "Why won't you ever call on me to pray?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know." He said, "Well, I moved right up front for you could see me because I like to pray out in church, you know." Well, my first thought was, "Well, why? You know, why? You know, I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, you know, hey, if you call on me to pray, great. You know, I'm fine." But he says, "Well, I think you're dishonoring, you're disrespecting me because you know I'm an older man and I think I ought to pray." And I almost said, "Well, brother, I don't know what your motives is. You know, why do you want to pray? I mean, you know, I mean, what is it? You know." So it kind of, I didn't say anything. I wasn't ugly to him. But next Sunday, he was sitting in the same place. And I said, "Brother, would you pray for us today?" And he got up, you know, and he prayed a really nice prayer. And man, I mean, it was like he was from England. "Thou God, how shalt thou be?" Well, you know, it's like, man. And I thought, well, that's really a pretty prayer. But where did it come from? Amen? Where did it come from? Was it a head or his heart? And what was it for? Was it really for God or was it for us to see him and make sure that everybody knew he was here and he got some attention, you know? And his greatest reward could have been he stood at the back door. That was such a beautiful prayer, brother. I mean, man, I don't know why Brother Nathan don't call on you more. I mean, you know, I mean, it was just a highlight of the service to hear you pray today. And I'm thinking, is that what you're wanting out of service? Listen, if that's what you're wanting, friend, your heart's wrong. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Your heart's wrong, and you need to take a look at your heart from your praying. And so it's like an old guy, like this story here. It's like an old boy had opened up a bake shop, and he just opened it up as his first day. And so all of a sudden, he sees this guy walking in, getting ready to come into the shop. First customer. So also, so the guy walks in, so he grabs the phone real quick, and he says, "Oh, yes, yes, okay, that big, oh, yes. It'll take me a day or two to get all that ready, but yes, yes." He says, "Man, I appreciate the order and everything, appreciate your business and everything." And he says, and finally, so he hangs the phone up, and he lays down. He says, "Can I help you?" And the guy says, "Yes, I'm the phone man. I'm coming to pick up, to plug up your phone." You know, and so, showy, that's how a lot of people are. It's on the heart. It's not anything of who you are. Let me tell you what. What you need to realize is this. If that's who you are, there's some people here that are spiritual, and they're discerning, and they can see through your hypocrisy. Amen? Amen? I'm just telling you guys, when you really get right with God and you get mature, you can see it. You can feel it. It's like, something ain't right. Something don't feel right. It's like that guy that wanted to pray. It's like, something's not right. You know, I mean, I liked him. He was a good guy. I mean, I thought he was a friend and everything, but it was just something wasn't right about him. And not just before, I didn't intentionally not call on him to pray, but it was just, I never thought about it before, but it was just something not right. And so I'm not saying that I can read your mail or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but I'm going to tell you what, people in here that are mature and growing in Christ and they're spending time with God, God gives you a special discernment that he doesn't give other people. And all of a sudden, it's something just don't feel a little like. You'd be watching TV and hear a preacher say something, all of a sudden, it's just like a little bell goes like, it don't sound right. So, I mean, let me check that out, you know. I mean, and everything else he said might be, just something didn't go just right. Or somebody says something, or somebody does something. And it's almost scary. You know, it's all, man, I don't know. I mean, I want to like them. I want to get along. But there's just a little something missing there, you know. There's something wrong. And normally what I found is listen to the Spirit, because it's telling you the truth. Because, see, I'm a people person, and I want to like everybody, and I want everybody to like me. So I don't want to feel that way towards anybody. Man, everybody likes me, but that's just not the world we're living in. So understand you have to check the Spirit and understand that God gives you discernment. And a lot of it can be seen in our prayer life. And so we don't do what? We're not praying to be seen by men. There's another thing I read a long time ago also. D.L. Moody called on a man to pray one day. And the man went on and on and on and kept praying. And D.L. Moody said, finally he gets up and walks up to the podium and he says, "Let's all stand and start singing a song while our brother catches up on his prayer life." You know, and so there's a lot of people that think longer or better. You know, most people don't think that, okay? It's like sermons, so we'll move along, okay? Most people don't think that. You might think that, but most people don't, okay? So why do we pray? Well, it's not to impress God. We don't pray to impress God. It's not to impress man. It's not to inform God, okay, because God already knows those things. We pray to fellowship with God. It's our communicating to Him. We're praying to Him. He's talking back to us. It's praying, and not in an audible form. It's not audible, but it's even louder than that. It's in our spirit as He talks back to us, and we have to understand. It's our acknowledgement of our need for Him as we pray and as we fellowship with God. As you mature in Christ, you'll want to pray more. Why? Because it's your acknowledging your need of God, and you're wanting to spend time with Him. Now, some people, when it comes to praying and worship, some people do it out of fear. That you're here today and you fear God, you know. And the fear that the Bible talks about most of the time is not a, I'm shaky, I'm scared of Him. More of it's a reverence type fear. That He's God and He's our Creator, and it's more about respect and understanding it. He's higher than we are. He's holy, okay? And so it's out of a type, what we call the word reverence. And so there's some people that they're here to worship today but they have a fear of God. They're afraid of what God might do. There's some people here today that they're here today because they're afraid of what God won't do. They're afraid if you don't come to church and God's not going to bless you. So you're here to try to get something from God. It's not really, you want to give Him a little something because you want to get something back. So your motive today is you've got your hands out because why? God, I want you to bless me. I want you to protect me. I want. So some people here are out of fear of God. Some people out here are the blessings of God. But what God wants you here for is this. He wants you here because you love Him. That's what maturity is, saying. Why do you do what you do? Why do you sing like you do? Why do you pray like you do? Why do you give like you do? Why do you come like you do? Well, what God wants because you love Him, see? Because I love Him. I'm not here to get anything. I'm not here because I'm scared. I'm here because I love Him. And see, nobody else in this room knows, except for probably some people that live with you, nobody else in this room knows that, but let me tell you what God does. God knows exactly your motive in being here this morning. And if it's out of love or not, and we need to understand that. So our love for God that's what brings out the worship. So what's the danger of hypocrisy? Let's move on. What's the danger of hypocrisy? Well, listen to what it says here. Here's another hard scripture now. Here's another hard one. Here it goes, Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Uh-oh. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never what? Never knew you. Man, away from me, you evildoers. Man, wouldn't that be hard? You know, that'd be hard, wouldn't it, to hear that? That's some hard words. And again, Jesus is preaching this. This is His famous sermon. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is what He wants everybody to know, okay? He draws in a crowd. He draws a crowd in. And He puts out these scriptures out here. And He's saying, listen, listen, listen. It's important. You need to understand this. So what's the first thing? The first thing is the danger of hypocrisy is this, is you deceive other people. Works before men. We're fools. We're playing the actor. We're playing the part. We're winning. We're making everybody believe that we're somebody we're not. And so we're a hypocrite. It's what the Bible says. And it's works before men. And it's works for me, not for God. And what I mean for that, when you're playing the hypocrisy game, it's you're trying to get something out of it. You're trying to get something. You're trying to get people to look at you in a different way. You're trying to get people to think about you in a different way. Look how spiritual they are. Oh, look how, man, oh, man, they're at church every Sunday. Look how, oh, they give something. Oh, they serve. They do all these things. Look at them. They are good folks. They're good folks, see? And so we care about what people think. And we should, okay? I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, okay? But I'm saying, is that the motive? That's a motive. And so you're deceiving other people. You're being deceitful to people around you. And so I'm always concerned about the person that serves and doesn't worship. When you come to this church, and like I said, I've been doing this for a long time now. This is the person I'm very cautious of. It's the person that's always finding something to do in the church besides worship. And there's folks like that. They're always in the nursery, okay? Because they don't want to come out here and hear my preaching. And I can take it personal, okay? But I don't, okay? Or they're always up in the youth or doing this or doing, but anywhere but the worship, so anywhere but the Word of God being preached. And so what they're doing is they're getting in the church and staying busy, but they're not worshiping God. And all of a sudden, the church is just a place that they show up to do something at rather than a place to be. And so I'm very discerning. And sometimes I'll just kind of go to them, hey, is everything all right? Everything all right? And not saying that person's lost. I'm not saying that person, it could be lost, but I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying, be careful when you're not in love with the Word of God. And I'm not saying that because I'm the preacher and I think I'm the main show. I'm not saying that at all. But be careful when you're not in love with the Word of God, because that shows who your heart is. That shows your motive in being here in a worship service, okay? Why is, you know, some people, I didn't know this for years, okay? And we were at a conference years ago at a Baptist conference, and so there was a guy come up, an older man preaching everything, and had a wonderful worship service and things like that, you know, and walked down. And so the guy was sitting here talking about how great the worship service was and everything. He said, let me do it. He says, how many of you in here know why the Baptists put the pulpit in the middle? And so there's a bunch of Baptists sitting there, and you know, a few people raise their hands, you know, and most of them are older and everything. And he says, because most Baptists were not, before they became Baptists, they were in different denominations. And the different denominations, if you notice, most of them have their pulpit over to the side, you know. And he says, you know why the Baptists voted on this 150 years ago or whatever it was? You know why the Baptists actually voted on where the pulpit, you know, if you can believe that or not, okay. But anyway, they voted, and they said, you know why? Because they said, because the message always needs to be the center of the worship. The Word of God always needs to be the center of our worship. Amen? It's all about Jesus. It's all about His Word. Okay, not to try to take away from the praise band or anything else that happens like that. But listen, the Word of God always is supposed to be in the center. It's the key of why we're here, because that's where we're hearing from God. And we need to listen to God and get in the Word of God and pray and ask God to bless us. And so a lot of people are doing what? They're doing what? It's deceiving other people. Then the next thing he says here is this. He goes on. He says, you deceive yourself. He says here, who says, Lord, Lord. Look what it says there in Matthew 7, again, in verse 22. It says, many will you say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not? Now, what's your did we not? That's what he's saying here. So you begin to deceive yourself. Did we not prophesy? Did we not drive out demons? Did we not perform miracles? And all those things are works-type salvation. Works type. And see, what you need to realize is they're asking, they're telling God, it's like, don't you remember what all I did, you know? But see, the problem was this, they did it with their heads and they did it with their action, but they never had their heart into it. It was deceitful. You need to realize that the devil worships God, but he doesn't worship him in the right way. The devil is afraid of God, but he don't have a reverence for him. And so we have to understand it. So we deceive ourselves, and that's what it is. We have to understand that these people did a lot of things. They were showy. They were out in front. They were probably some of the folks, big shots in the church, but they didn't have their heart right with God. And then the last thing is this, is you anger God. Look what he says here. Look at the strong words that he used here. He says, then I will tell them plainly. And that's a strong word there. It means I'm not mixing my words here. I'm not going to mix my words here. He says, I never knew you. And then what does he follow? He says, what? Away from me, you evildoers. That's some pretty hard words from God, okay? It says what? He says, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And so you do what? You deceive others, you deceive yourself, and you anger God. And the Lord looks past our works. He looks past our smiles and looks past our cleaning ourselves up. He does what? He looks directly at our hearts and he says, do you really know me? Do you really know me? Now, here's a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is preaching this. And this is some hard words. This is not popular preaching in 2019, okay? But I'm not here to be popular. This is not a stage. This is a platform. We're not here performing. We're here to worship, okay? And I make sure the praise team understands that. I don't like this to be called a stage, because it's not a stage. It's a platform. A stage is where you perform. A platform is where you minister from and worship from, okay? And that's what it's supposed to be. I get it wrong sometimes, okay? But that's what it's supposed to be. Because why? We're here for Him, okay? We're here for Him. We're not here for each other. We're just here for Him. Now, we get the benefits of being here together, but we're mainly here for Him, and we have to understand that. And so what happens is when we have false worship and people can see past that, we have to do what? We have to check our motives and why we're doing what we're doing. Are you fooling other people? Well, you can fool other people and go to hell. Are you deceiving yourselves? Maybe you can deceive yourselves and go to hell. And what it does, you're just angering God. And he says this in the strongest language, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. And so let's say this. Let's end with this. If we're thinking about heaven and hell and people going to heaven or hell, it's sad to think that the drug dealers and the drunkards and the prostitutes are going to go to hell one day. And we're out here trying to witness to them. We're trying to minister to them, try to do whatever we can to see that those people don't go to hell, to give them, get the word, get the truth to them, and make sure that they don't go to hell, okay? But listen, isn't it sadder to think that one of the praise team members might go to hell, or maybe a life group leader go to hell, you know, or maybe one of the servers that take up the money. Maybe they'll go to hell. Maybe, you know, listen, we try to make it hard to go to hell from Mount Vernon Baptist Church, but that doesn't mean that you can't. Amen? You might sit out here, you might be here every service and die and go to hell. You might do that because why? It's not about showing up, it's about who you are. And God looks past all that and He looks at your heart. And so isn't that a sad thing to say to find people that are going to be in hell and they're saying, man, but I prophesied. I drove out demons. I performed many miracles, but my heart was never right with God. My heart was never right with God. Is your heart right with God today? That's the question we're looking for today. Is your heart right with God? Has there ever been a time in your life where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? See, I do this so much, you've gotten comfortable with it. It doesn't bother. See, if you're sitting out there today and you're lost, And the invitation doesn't bother you anymore, you're in a dangerous place. You're in a dangerous place. So your heart's got calloused, and it's coated over with sin, and it's like, oh, here he goes again, man. Where one time is like you sitting there and you was gripping the back and saying, man, I'm so uncomfortable in the invitation. Well, that uncomfortable, what you need to realize, that's the Holy Spirit convicting you and saying, listen, you're not saved, you're lost. You know, you're not saved, you're lost. But then you can get to a point where you go cold to that, and all of a sudden it doesn't bother you anymore. Let's just hurry up and get it over with. You're in a dangerous situation. But you need to realize when you're convicted and you're feeling the conviction and you know you're not saved and you need to be saved, you need to praise God for that because God never promises to do that again. He never promises that you'll feel that way again. See, the only way we come to God is God draws us. See, we don't seek Him. He seeks us, and God's seeking after you today. But He doesn't promise to ever do that again after this point. You don't know that. So you don't know that. So you're in a very dangerous place. And when you come in here week after week and you get all this information and you're storing it in your mind and it's not getting into your heart, when you stand before God, all it's going to do is make you more accountable for God. I think hell's going to be a little hotter for you folks that come to Mount Vernon and heard the Word of God all these years and then never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to be disappointed if it's not, okay? Because there's an old boy over in Africa that might never get opportunity, you know. He might not ever, other than natural revelations and drawing him to God, he might not hear. There's a lot of people that don't have the same privilege, don't have the same opportunity that we do in America to hear the Word of God over and over and over on TV and everywhere else over and over and over again. But it makes us more accountable. So look at your closing here today. Are you trying to fool God? Are you trying to fool God? Well, the Bible says this. The Bible says you're the fool because God's not. You know, God says he's not the fool you are because you're not fooling Him. You can fool me. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. And the lesson to learn today is God's looking at your heart. He's looking up past all you put on stuff and all you cleaning on the outside and all the kind of stuff that you're doing and maybe all your hand raising and all the service you're doing in the church. He might be doing all, but he's looking all past that and he's looking right at your heart and he knows who you really are and why you're doing it for. And the application today is do a heart check. Do a heart check. It'd be sad for you to come to this church and die and go to hell. Be sad. Be sad for you to do that. I hope that all of you will be in heaven with me one day. Let me tell you what, I don't know when I preach or when I lead people to Christ. I don't know their hearts. I don't know when anybody gets saved or not. I don't know anything about that. But let me tell you what, I want to believe when I get in heaven one day there's going to be a line waiting for me to shake my hand and say, praise God that you've told me about Jesus. This is the best place I've ever been. Amen? And I hope you want a line waiting on you also. I know my family's going to be there, and they're going to welcome me in, but I hope there's some people that I never really even knew who they was because of the preaching of the Word and me going to the jail and doing the different things. But see, that's not just for me. That's for you also. That's for you also because, see, when we have the right motives, what it is, we do it out of a sense of love for people, out of a sense of compassion for people. And all of a sudden, it's not like we have to do those things anymore. We get to do those things because of our love. So why are you doing what you're doing is the question today. Are you winning the Academy Award, you know? Are you a good performer? You putting on a good show? You come to church long enough, you'll learn all the top terminology, and man, you can pray in the King James English, and you can thous and these, and all these kind of things you want to, and you can stand up when we stand up, and you can sit down when we stand up, sit down, and you can sing the songs, and man, you can wave your hands, and you can do all those things. Man, you'll do a real good job of all that, see? But see, God says, man, all that's a phony. That's all phony. I'm looking right at your heart, and I know who you really are, and He's the one that matters. Amen? He's the one that matters. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. So what about you today? Are you saved? God gives you an opportunity to be saved today. Has there ever been a time in your life where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? How do you do that? It's as simple as ABC. And ABC, I was up in the children's thing the other day, when Brother Bob preached, I went up there, and the last thing they did when before they got out of their big group was is they went through the ABCs of salvation. It's that simple that even a child can understand. God doesn't make it hard. God makes it easy because he's done the work. But it's something we have to do. It's something you have to do. So has there ever been a time in your life where you admitted you were a sinner? That ought to be easy for us, you know. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you don't measure up to God's standard to get in heaven because you're a sinner. Sin separates you from God. So have you ever admitted that to God? I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. That's easy. Believe. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for your sins. Have you ever acknowledged him as that? You know, you don't know just about God, but you know God. You don't know just about Jesus, but you know him. Romans 5:8 said God demonstrated his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? And have you ever confessed him? That's the C. A, B, C. Admit, believe, and confess. Have you ever confessed him? Now listen to this. This is big. Have you ever confessed him as your Lord and as your Savior? Romans 10:9 says what? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you will be what? Saved. You will be saved. But there has to be a time in your life where you said, you're my Lord. And what's that mean? He's the boss. I'm repenting. I'm turning from my sins. And I'm turning my life over to you. And now you're in charge. I surrender my life to you. And if you're and you believe him as Savior, that he died. We're going to get ready for Easter here before long. That he died on the cross. He was put in the grave. And 3 days later, he was resurrected from the grave. Do you believe that Jesus was resurrected? What does that prove? It proves that he is God, that he's the Son of God. That's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? I didn't say understand it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. With everything in me, I believe that, see? And why do I believe that? Because the Holy Spirit teaches me that. So have you admitted, have you believed, and have you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if you hadn't, friend, we can baptize you till you drown. You can drink the Lord's Supper till you choke. And you come to this church every time the cows come home, and I ain't got a cow, and you can come over, but you'll still die and go to hell. Do you understand that? That's truth. That's truth. And so if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you pray this prayer with me. And you pray, and if you mean it, listen, God does business with those who mean business. If you pray this prayer and you sincerely mean this prayer, God will save you sitting right where you're at today. So you pray this prayer with you. I'm not talking about out loud. You just pray it to yourself. You pray, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. And I believe Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for my sins. And I confess him today as my Lord and as my Savior. And God, I choose to give my life to you. And I ask you to save me. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. And amen. Amen? Did you pray that prayer today and really mean it? Well, based on the Word of God, God says you're saved. You know. Now, what do you need to do? You say, well, there's got to be something more to it. Yeah, there's something more to it. Then you need to begin to grow. And how do you get in the Word of God? We've got some things back here. Got some tools back here, materials back here we want to give you to help you grow. Little booklets and things you can go through because the more you know about God, the closer you'll grow to God, okay? And so you need to get baptized. Listen, baptism is not an option, okay? It's a commandment. So you say, well, God, I'm taking you as my Lord, and he's the boss, and the first thing he tells you to do to be baptized is some people don't get baptized, you know? It's not popular day. You know, I don't want to get my hairdo wet. Forget your hairdo, okay? You know, we just want to do it at the end of the service. That way you don't have to walk out in front of everybody, okay? And so, you know, maybe you have never been baptized. Maybe you say, well, I'm sorry, I've never been baptized. You need to get baptized. You know, God commands us. He doesn't give you an option. Well, if you want to, if you think it's okay, if you're not scared, okay, you need to be baptized, you know. You need to join a church. If not this church, another church, because you need to get into a family of God where you can grow with them and they can grow with you and you can bless them and they can bless you. You need to be a part of that. That's not popular today, but that's what the Bible teaches us. When you look at the word church in the New Testament, 3/4 of the time it's talking about a local congregation. There's a world church where all of us are saved and we all belong to, and that's great, okay? But there's also local churches, and he's preaching to local churches because, why? That's where we use our gifts and our talents at, to be a blessing to other people, and we need to be a part of that, okay? So that's what it comes down to, guys. Are you saved and are you committed to God? And God sees past all your phoniness, and he sees your heart. And so today, what I'm asking you, are you real? Are you a hypocrite? The decision is yours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand here today, dear God, thanking you for your truth. We're not here to preach to be popular. We're here to preach to be truthful because that's how people go to heaven. And so, God, let us take this message to heart. And maybe there's some guys and girls here today that have never heard that truth before, that they think somehow coming to church and doing all the things we ask them to do is that's for their salvation. But God, help them to know that the only way they can be saved is accept you as Lord and Savior. And all these other things is because of our salvation. It's not for our salvation. God, minister to us today and speak that truth to us. And then those of us today that we know that we're saved, and God, help this message convict us that, God, we're hypocrites. We're out here playing a game, and God, we're doing a great disservice to the world around us. A lot of the problems today is because the church is not standing up and being the church and not being the people that you call us to be. God, let us be that people. Let us be that person in our offices, in our schools, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. Let us be that people, God. God, help us to be the people of God. God, convict our heart for this truth today, dear God, that we don't walk out here and just play a game, but we truly are the people of God, the children of God. We love Him, we praise Him, we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus, and amen. Let's all stand. Maybe you have a decision to make today. Maybe you want to pray and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to come and share that with Mike or ourselves, and we've got some things we'd like to give you, some material we'd like to give you to help you grow. Maybe today you've got a prayer need, for you're praying for somebody or praying for yourself or a situation you need to pray. You can come to the altar and pray. That's fine. Or you can ask Mike and I, either one, and we'll pray with you or for you or whatever you need. And maybe you want to be a part of this church and be a part of coming and being a part of what God's doing here at this church. We welcome you here. We'd be glad to be here. So maybe any, but if you have a need today, you come. Okay? Ryan?
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and tell me that you're pleased and that I still as you call me deeper.
People said, amen. Amen. I've got some good news. Jesus saves. Amen. 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 Yeah, let's brighten it up a little bit. I mean, all of you look like you're mourning today, okay? Hard stuff. Amen. Hard stuff. When you get in the Word of God, man, you start reading the Word of God, it's like, man, come on, every now and then I say, God, give me a happy sermon.